today on Real Radio.
Now, if somebody's upset with me because I'm a jerk, that's my fault. But if it's for standing for prayer to be allowed anywhere at all times because this is a free country, then I'm in trouble. If it's to defend the unborn, that a child that is within the womb should be able to live, then I'm in trouble. There's a difference for being in trouble for what is of God and what is foolishness.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, with a message titled The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 1. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter is now writing to Christians who are learning how to live out their faith in a whole new world. They faced incredible opposition, suffering, and sorrow awaited them. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? Still, the world looks at us to find out who Jesus is. It's why here in chapter 2 that Peter changes his focus by introducing us to a different kind of battle, the battle of the flesh. Jesus, who was God in human skin, lived in this world and yet without sin. But Jesus knew for sure that we couldn't fight against our sinful desires in our own strength, and he gave us the Holy Spirit to light the way. So today on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we cannot remain silent about our faith in Jesus Christ. Instead, we take a stand for what's right. We are not of this world. We're just pilgrims passing through. But we need to take as many as we can with us on our journey towards heaven. And now in his message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You and I, listen, when's the last time you heard this in church? You and I are supposed to be hated. We are to be the most loving people to the world out there and to one another, and yet we're going to be the most hated. Jesus said so. One of the evidences of Jesus choosing you out of the world is that the world will hate you. How does it hate you? Well, how do people think about you at work? I had somebody tell me 2 weeks ago that, by the way, they recently became a Christian. Their job ethic at work changed so dramatically that they wound up they got rebuked by one of their coworkers because this guy's new work ethic to glorify Jesus upset those that were around him because he's not slacking off. Now he's working for Jesus. And he's an example. People got upset about it. That's remarkable. That's living for Christ. You're going to be rejected. Take a stand for something that's of God. You want to get in trouble? You want to be hated by the world? You say, not really. Well, you better choose sides because Jesus said the world will love its own. But if you love me, the world's going to hate you. So that means in family, that means in situations where somebody says, oh, you know what? This or that. Gatherings. Work, wherever the opportunity is there, you say something. See, the Christians think today, we've been beaten up so much, we just sit silent. Jesus, and you know he convicts you, he says something like, say something. Doesn't he say that to you? You should insert yourself into this one and represent me. If you're a Christian today, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you're going to say, well, listen, and you can say it the most loving way possible. And because, listen, spiritually, they don't even realize it. But if you say, well, you know what? I mean, I know that everyone has a right to choose whatever they do. And ultimately, in the end, everybody can decide what they want to do. But, you know, it just seems to me, if you choose to abort a baby because the baby that's inconvenient, you know, I don't call me crazy, but I think it's wrong. You don't even have to mention the name of Jesus, and they're going to hate you for that position. Did you know that? It's a spiritual thing. It's a world that is encroaching upon you, and you're to stand for Jesus' sake, and you just make a comment. You just stand for what's right, and the world will hate you. But the Bible reminds us over and over again that we are foreigners. We don't belong here. We are visitors. We're passing through. And that's a tremendous truth of God's word. And sometimes, you know, the temptation is to just bed down into this world and get anchored in. You know, next week they're telling us, starting, is it tomorrow? It's going to get hot again. Now, you know, I thought it was just us, but you know, there's record heat sweeping not only North America, Mexico, US, Canada, but there's record heat happening in parts of Europe. And what does this mean? We'll let all the people figure out what it means. But I don't know about you. Thank God for the big, for the humidity, right? Thank God it's been sticky and sweaty. I love it. That's been the only saving grace of the, what do you know? It's a, thank God for the humidity, but it's going to get hot again. They're telling us that it could reach in some parts of Southern California, 108, 110 degrees. Listen, remember when you're walking around next week, the heat, and you can say, God, thank you that this is hot as it gets for me as a Christian. It's not going to get any hotter than this. As I'm not of this world. Oh, it's so hot. I understand. Look, we can go and visit other parts of the world and have a great vacation. You can go do whatever you want to do. That's wonderful. We're not of this world. We can enjoy it and thank God for it. But remember this, we're not of this world. And when we stand for what is right in practical Christianity, when we make a difference, and you do realize when we make a difference, you don't need, technically Christian, you don't need any more sermons. We really don't. We need to do what we know. God is not interested in amassing theologians. He said, be careful. The Bible says, be careful that you're not hearers. That implies learning only, but what? Doers of the word. And when you go out there and do the word, you're going to receive opposition. People are going to make comments about you. I was at the grocery store yesterday afternoon. Lisa needed some things. I was done with the study, went to the market. There were only three people in one aisle. I was one of them. Two women on the aisle. One woman says, Pastor Jack, I didn't recognize you. Hi. I had my official attire on. I had my flip-flops, my board shorts, and a t-shirt. And she said, hi, how are you? And I said, how are you doing? Nice to meet you. What's your name? And another woman on the same aisle turned around and went just like this. And looked right at me. And if I wouldn't have been in a hurry, I would have said, excuse me, ma'am, what's going on there? There's a great story to tell. I really wanted to know, but I had to go. But what's going on in there? Can you unpack that for me? It was remarkable. I get home and Lisa begins to tell me how she was talking to one of you. And said, hey, have you gone online to see this particular blog site? The site is just tearing Jack apart on this thing. And there's one lady making a comment here that she's going to pray that the church is destroyed and he dies. Well, I don't know who she's praying to, but ain't nobody listening to that. But it's like, wow. I just got done studying that this morning in the Bible. Now, if somebody's upset with me because I'm a jerk, that's my fault. But if it's for standing for prayer to be allowed anywhere at all times because this is a free country, then I'm in trouble. If it's to defend the unborn, that a child that is within the womb should be able to live, then I'm in trouble. If it's one of those things where I say the Bible says God defined marriage as a male, female, husband, and wife. If you don't like it, that's not my problem. God defined it like that. Then I'm in trouble. There's a difference for being in trouble for what is of God and what is foolishness. You want to be in trouble before the eyes of the world for what's good, for what's right. He goes on to tell us also in verse 12 that the ever-present Jesus illuminates the way of the righteous, illuminates our way so we can see clearly. God goes before us. The Bible's very clear. The Word of God from Genesis to Revelation teaches that God's light, which is a fun thing to study, I ought to do a word study sometimes on light. God's light, which speaks of his word, which speaks of truth, goes ahead of us. That's comforting to know. The Bible teaches us that in 1 John chapter 1, you and I live and abide in the light. There's light all around us. I don't know about you, but I like light. I think you do too. And then the Bible's clear that the Lord has illuminated our past. And you look at those different angles of where you point that light. There's the beam that looks ahead. And there's almost that soft, warm, enveloping light of his presence. And then I love the fact that God looks back at our past and it's almost as though it's microwave type of scorching type of brilliant light that washes or burns away the past of our life and of our guilt. God washes it away. Isn't that good news? I love that. But he illuminates for us so that we can see clearly. Nobody should see more clearly than the Christian. How is that? Because of our conduct. Look at verse 12. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. The honorable lifestyle. The word conduct, you can look at the word and it means in the original Greek language, listen, not just behavior. Some of your Bibles say conversation. Anybody have the old King James? That's a great word. Conversation. The word conversation in our day means talk. That's not what it meant in 1610. The King James translators translated that word beautifully in the old King James, conversation. It means everything that encompasses what you say, what you do, what you live. It is the entire bit of you. The new King James translators use the word conduct. That's a good word because the word means originally, daily conduct. Can you write that down in the margins of verse 12? Right off to the side of your Bible, write conduct. It means daily conduct, daily lifestyle, daily way of living. It encompasses this, the daily process of your time, the daily process of thought, the daily process of who you and I are. Didn't Jesus say, right, take up your cross how often? Once a week? On Sunday only? 3 days a week? Daily. It's that same teaching. It's that same word. So it's daily. Whatever he's talking about, it's a constant thing. This is the life of the believer. And then honorable. The word kalos in Greek, K-A-L-O-S, means beautiful. A beautiful lifestyle. Excellent lifestyle. Sound. Right. Listen. The word means a lifestyle that is in accordance with all truth. That is revealed truth. God's truth. This is the life of the believer. This is who we're supposed to be. The Bible tells us that we'll see clearly. Now, in this, we've never been here before, you and I. We've never lived this deep into time as we do today. This is the 21st century, absolutely yes. This is not only the eighth month of the year, this is the first time we have ever come to this year, agreed? It's never happened, but tomorrow will be one more day closer. What's interesting, and we talked about it in our previous studies, that time is an element of the physical universe. Time is ending. Physicists who don't even believe in God know that's true. Time is ending. Things will not go on forever. Time has a conclusion by nature, by science. It demands it. The remarkable thing about this is that to live or to conduct yourself in an honorable way is to do so in such a way, understanding that we have a limited time to do that. It's only for a season. However young you may be today or however old you might be today, you only have a season of time left. To do what? To live a life for Jesus, to think clearly, honorably. You and I are living in an age now so far down the rail, it's so dark that people today cannot even recognize what is truth and what is not truth. We have people today, you can watch them, you can see them, maybe you know them. They, not only do they, that they're unable to recognize truth, they don't want truth if they see it. You can show them, it can be empirical. You can reveal it to them tangibly and they'll still reject the truth. What's happening? For you who see clearly, it's almost as though many people in the world have taken stupid pills. It's like, what's wrong with people? Do you know what you're experiencing? You're experiencing what Isaiah warned about and what Jesus and the apostles warned about in the last days. In the last days, before Christ returns, good will be called evil. Evil will be called good. Right will become wrong. Wrong will become right. Dark, light, light, dark. And right now there's a rage going across our nation over the selection of a Supreme Court judge. You want to know why? Anybody want to know why? Or anybody want to just shout out why it's such a big deal? This particular one? It's this particular judge in Washington on the Supreme Court that, if he's appointed, will completely flip once and for all. Exactly. The defense of life, the defending of an unborn child. It will completely flip it. And you might say, well, women have the right over their own body. Of course they do. We all have rights over our own body. We need to protect those rights. But we're also talking about miracles. Do you believe in miracles? You say, I don't believe in miracles. Well, it is a miracle, even though it's biologically proven and repeatable. When a man and a woman get together, a miracle happens. You say, that's biology. It's still a miracle. Biology's a miracle, for crying out loud. Chemistry's a miracle. They get pregnant. And that baby, having committed no crime, not guilty of anything, that baby has a right to live. It's a human being. It doesn't become... Listen, when a German shepherd gets pregnant with another German shepherd, what's inside the mommy German shepherd? Puppy. What kind of puppies are they? German shepherd puppies. Everybody knows that. When two humans get together and there's a little human inside, that's a human. And that human, the Bible says, I don't believe in God. Okay, but the Bible says that child's created in the image of God. I don't believe in God. Okay, the child's created in the image of its parents. Do the parents have a right to live? Well, yeah, so does the child. But wait, the mom's got the right to her own body. She does, until there's another body living inside of her body. That's the miracle of life. You do have the right over your own body. The problem is with being pregnant, you cross the line. We made a decision, we crossed the line, we got pregnant, and inside of me is a different person who has a right over their own body. And we live in an age right now where if you stand up for that, you're going to be hated. And God says, stand. See clearly, speak up, stand for what's right, stand for what's true. This is God's call upon our life. It's a spiritual battle. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, listen, watch the development, or I should say the revelation of light that we might see clearly. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, Logos, by the way. Some of you in either debate or even science logic or philosophy of science, Logos is the giving of the Word, and with that, in the beginning was the Word, some will argue, even rightfully so, is the giving of information. Of course, it's speaking of Jesus, but it's all information, teleonomic, to transfer information. In the beginning was the Word. That is, he's always existed. And the Word was with God. And what does it say, church? And the Word was God. He was in the beginning. The Word is indicating material universe. In other words, we could say, verse 2, he was at the beginning with God. That's Genesis 1. All things were made or created through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. Listen, the progression now, or I should say the revelation of. And the life was the light of men. According to the Bible, all human beings are given a revelation by God. You can study it more in Romans chapter 1. There is an awareness, there is a consciousness that God says, I give to the human psyche. Verse 9, that he, or Jesus, was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. That is a tremendous statement. The illumination. The believer in this world can see clearly. God would call you and I to illuminate, because we are illuminated as his people. God declares us righteous by faith in Christ. God would use you and I to stand for what's truth, to stand for what's right as lights ourselves. The Bible tells us in 3 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth, light, logos, that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, walking in truth, walking in light. Listen, the more you walk with God, the more clear things, listen everybody, the more clear things will be and the more alienated you'll feel from this world. I'm not pointing out anybody in particular, of course not. But just in a service of this size, there may be people here that just do religious stuff. And then there are those who care about walking in the light and being in the light. That's the Christian life. We have a great heritage. Not only does humanity, regarding walking with God, the Bible, the biblical account of us as humans walking and then not walking and then getting back into fellowship with God revealed in the Bible. But you think about the revelation, Jesus himself is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the light of the world, the Bible says. And that theme has been inside the heart of man since the beginning. I'm going to, just for fun, I just wanted to do this just to get you excited about something. Not too long ago, Lisa and I were at two fairly well-known schools and taking a tour. Wonderful. One of them was this one. Go ahead and put the logo up on the screen. Anybody recognize this? Yep, Harvard. Anybody know what that says on there in Latin? Truth. Very good. Veritas, truth. Unfortunately, if you go on Harvard, we were on Harvard, Harvard Green, walked around Harvard there in Boston. If you ask people, hey, what's that mean? Truth. What's truth? Whatever you want it to be. That's the modern jargon on Harvard's campus today. Truth. Well, you know, what's true for you may not be true for me. Watch. But what's true for me may not be true for you. The cool thing is, whatever your truth is, go ahead and live it. And whatever truth is mine, go ahead and live it. Do you understand that this is beyond a philosophy? This is humanism. It doesn't work. It's never worked. It's insanity.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today, and when you live intentionally and obey the Lord's teachings, you are building a secure foundation that will steady you against the storms of this life. The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Where is America headed? If the radical left has their way, it will be socialism, keeping you, your family, and your God locked up. How about globalism? Are you ready for a singular world government? Mike Huckabee says,
if we yield over and decide that America is not unique, it's not special, it's not extraordinary, well, at that point, we've already capitulated to nothingness. We no longer are the United States of America.
Now, a documentary, After Trump, A Warning to America. This must-see film is now on demand at jackhibbs.com/aftertrump.
Now, if Donald Trump would have had a hat that said, make the world great again, the world would have fallen over in love with him.
Featuring interviews with Mike Huckabee, Jack Hibbs, Franklin Graham, Eric Metaxas, Alveda King, and nationally syndicated talk show host, Dennis Prager.
The left, in the words of Barack Obama, want to fundamentally transform the United States of America. I don't. I want to improve the United States of America because I love it. You can't love something you want to fundamentally transform.
Watch on demand now, After Trump, A Warning to America. It's time to rescue our America, and it's up to us, we the people.
Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny.
Go to jackhibbs.com/aftertrump, view on demand, or get your own DVD copy to view and share with a friend for your gift of any amount. jackhibbs.com/aftertrump. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.